This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Could this bold NFL move lead to an acceleration in the Dak and Amari contract talks?
I'm telling you, man, people have totally lost sight of what I think is just as big of a deal. All right. Per Dan Graziano, something else to watch for in the CBA. All right. If the new deal is agreed to by March 18th. All right. So, I mean, not immediately, but you only got like a little bit less than a month now to figure it out. It would start with the 2020 league year, which is why the new playoff system would be implemented. One of the things being discussed is dropping the ability to use both the franchise and the transition tag. So just think about that for a minute. That could just go away in the next month. What the hell are the Cowboys going to do then? Because the fallback to all this all along with Dak specifically, and then obviously Amari to a certain extent as well, is, well, we can use a franchise tag, we can use a transition tag, we can whatever. And now all of a sudden, if the new CBA was agreed upon, and there's still plenty of like negotiating room and maybe one of those would be pulled back, but what if you lost both of those?
I mean, I think the Cowboys are prepared. It's leverage right now, but I think they're prepared to pay him anyway. Because here's one of the things that the Cowboys, it's real weird how they've kind of approached a lot of things, and this could applies to a lot of NFL teams, not just the Cowboys, but we specifically put this on the Cowboys label because, but the, like, Cole Beasley was aging production, and you got good production for a very good value, right?
Okay.
And right now, who's the best value that you're getting?
On this team right now?
Yeah. And let's go.
Michael Gallup.
Last year, it was Dak, right?
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. But I guess the for next
the
year, I would say, like,
the, mix a little
the
bit,
future yeah. will be Michael Gallup. You're right. Like, because he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Maybe Xavier Woods, kind of, no. for 1 year.
No. I don't think that he's as valuable for the amount of work done and the production that you're getting out of him for the contract. So I think that's the Cowboys have always looked at it as, okay, we were getting a really good value for that, and we're ready to pay for the production now because now we have to pay market value for the production. So I don't think that I see what you're saying. That thing is very valuable to owners, and players have hated it because they want to feel like, and we do too in this business. A lot of times we're like, hey, a 1 year contract, that doesn't make me feel like you want me around. Yeah. You know, but you also not giving me any security down the road for if something you guys do goes bad.
Well, it's also, I mean, the reason the owners put this in, it's a way to hold back salaries. I get that the franchise tag puts you in the top five. It's the average of the top five guys at your position, but we never have great pass rushers in our free agency. Von Miller in his prime never reached free agency. They make sure that the best players at their position never reach free agency, because if they did, they would raise the market value tremendously. So they're like, how do we make sure that no good players in their prime ever hit free agency? Because as long as they don't ever do it, we never really have to pay the market value of the position.
So if that goes away and you're the Cowboys, you do what? Because if the market is going to like naturally be inflated because now it's a free market system.
Yeah.
I mean, these discussions about 37, 38, and I mean, in a market where Teddy Bridgewater's like, I want $30 million,
right,
and Taysom Hill's like, I'm a franchise quarterback, and Amari Cooper is going to be on the open market. Like, what do you do now?
You're saying that what if a collective bargaining agreement gets done in the next
3 to 4 weeks?
But I just assume this, that the owners would say everything stays the same for this offseason, as in franchise tags and transition tags, because we were preparing the whole offseason for two tags.
I don't know if they're going to be able to get that. I mean, like, obviously they could just not sign the deal, but and wait until after March 18th.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that would be allowed in the language of the contract, because then you would not implement the playoff system. So everything has to be, you're going to set it up to start in the 2020 league season.
You know,
so you know, I don't know.
You know what's interesting with me is with Tony Romo, he was under pretty much all the same rules that are the rules in the collective bargaining agreement today. Yes, there's small things, but they had franchise tag during Tony Romo's whole career. Is the Jones family, led by Jerry Jones, never allowed it to get to this with Tony Romo. It was always, before we get anywhere close to this point in your contract, what do you want? All right, you got it. Done. And I will give you a huge contract. You just tell me what you believe you're worth. As long as we pretty much have an agreement, we're done. And he won't do it with Dak. And so doesn't that mean that he doesn't think Dak is the guy? He did the same. Tony Romo had two times where he came up on contracts. One was very early in his career, and then one later. And he's like, what do you want? What do you need? And they're like, look, this is fair. And he worked with the same company. It was CAA. And they're like, yeah, done. Good. Let's keep going. Tony Romo, you're our guy. It's not good to have your quarterback going into an offseason with possibly getting franchise tag. And now we're 3 weeks away from it. And the Jones family doesn't care. They don't care that much about Dak Prescott. They can say words, but their actions were with Tony Romo. We're never letting this get close to this situation. And with Dak, they don't care that they get to March 10th. At this point, we're getting close enough to March 10th. They don't care. They're like, look, we have you under control. We're going to franchise tag you. Pretty much screw you. You can play for 1 year if you don't want to come to terms with us. They never negotiated like that with Tony Romo.
I don't know. And this is just my opinion. I don't know that they are really playing it that way. And that's just because I've seen what they did with Dez. I've seen what they've done in the past. I don't think that they're playing that kind of hardball. I think they are trying to leverage a lot of different things at the same time and trying to balance it. But I just don't know how committed they would actually be to taking a quarterback in the top set with the number 17 pick if they had that chance. Okay, like I think they're committed to Dak. It's just I'm built in on they wait and wait and wait for things to happen, and that's just their approach.
Can I broach this topic? We talk all the time about how sometimes the fan text changes the direction and asks a question. And when it was one person, I didn't necessarily think that was the case. But now there's two people who are saying this. In the 214, you're opening a can of worms with why Jerry paid Romo and won't pay Dak. One incendiary difference is obvious. And then from the 808, they got much more to the point because Tony is white. If Dak was white, he'd be signed. Is that a thing that people believe? I just want to say for the record, I think there are times when race plays an issue, but for Jerry, I think he would do whatever with whatever race of player to win a championship. But is that a strong sentiment out there that people think this is a racial issue?
I don't know how it is.
I do think that represents some Cowboy fans.
Really?
That take. Now, is the percentage 10%, 33%?
Okay.
I think it's somewhere in there. I think I'm not saying it's the majority, but I do think There is approximately 10 to 33%. We don't know the exact pulse of all Cowboy fans, but I do think there's a part of the Cowboys fandom that believes because of skin color in this situation, they're negotiating much harder with Dak.
I really want to know if you're one of those people. The fan text is starting to explode
right now with a lot of people saying they don't feel like, well, two things. They don't feel like Romo's contract ever had anything to do with Dak's contract in their negotiation tactics. I think they may have learned something from back then, but they also don't – a lot of people are saying they don't think that Dak's color makes any difference here.
I don't either. I do think this. I think Romo and Jerry had a much closer relationship.
Immediately or over time?
I think, well, when you listen to Jerry, and look, Jerry fibs a lot on those, whatever you want to call them, those NFL network things.
Yeah.
But I do think he grew to love Tony Romo really quick. And so I don't think he loves Dak Prescott. I think he likes Dak Prescott. But with Tony, it was like, this is my guy. Love him. I love his personality. I love him. And I'm not saying he doesn't with Dak, but it's not the same. It's not the same feeling he has with Dak as he does with Romo. And it could just be football stuff. But I do know that, I mean, Romo named one of his kids after the Jones family, pretty much.
Okay, my God. Sorry, I was also looking through this, and I saw a couple of people were like, and somebody, I think from the 936, was said, I mean, look, I thought that, but I didn't want to text it in, but now that other people are saying it.
A lot more people, though, I think are disagreeing with it completely and think that it's low-hanging fruit for that.
But see, I disagree with that sometimes. From the 214, it's ridiculous that y'all would even mention that. The reason why I mentioned it is in the span of like the beginning of the segment, there were five comments, and two of them were about his race having something to do with it. And I know that's a really small sample size, but initially my thought is, does 40% of our audience think this is a racial issue? I was asking the question, saying it's a racial issue. I was just really curious where people sat on this, because I think it's just strictly an issue I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who do you think it's more, which percent of our audience, the black or white percentage, because we have a massive African-American audience.
Sure.
Which one do you think thinks more that it's a racial issue? That it's the white percent that says, oh, because he's a black quarterback, that's the way? Or do you think it's the black percentage that thinks that's why he's not paying our guy?
That's really tough to say, because the people texting in didn't like identify.
And the text is colorless, race. Right? Yeah. The text is very colorless.
And people are texting in that, like, Tony Romo's part Hispanic and Dak is part white.
That's true. I wonder if some people identify like Romo is a white guy and Dak is a black guy. Very simplistic.
I think that what it boils down to, Kevin, when it comes to this contract, more than anything, what the rest of the guys that are near him are going to get paid, and the Deshaun Watsons, the Goffs, the Wentzes, what those guys are getting paid, what success has he had, and what success can we project for him to have in the future, while also maybe taking away the extra $1 million that we would have to add to him, the extra $2 million, is that going to cost us a player that give him the future of a Super Bowl, or can he do it on his own? I don't think anybody in this room thinks he can do it on his own.
And that's why I circled back around with this topic to begin with, because you're probably right, Mike. If I'm the owners, I would agree with some of this stuff, and then I might just try to hold out to sign it until after March 18th. But then again, there could be specific language in the contract that would prevent that from you getting your extra playoff team this year. And if you got rid of the franchise and transition tag, which is at least in the discussion points right now, we'll have more about that later, is all of a sudden you lose what we've all assumed all along is our fallback. Like, you've never heard anyone go, well, Dak's about to be a free agent, right? That never comes up. It's just, well, you might have to franchise Dak. Well, what if that option disappears? What if that option of the transition tag that we talked about with Amari Cooper and potentially making a move there, what if that disappeared? To Corey's point, if you start stacking on any extra number of millions of dollars, that could cost you.
I think if you asked Jerry and Steven that question, though, and somebody said he would tell you guys to get your damn act together, I think that Jerry and Steven would say, are you joking? Really? Like, all the guys that we have playing on this football team, everybody we've dealt with over the years, you guys think that has anything to do with it?
I just want to say one thing about that. I agree with that 100%, but there, for whatever reason, it's the quarterback position that is different. If you go back to Doug Williams, you go back to what Limbaugh said about McNabb that one time that set everyone insane, is for whatever reason, people are like, well, sure, you'll get them to do whatever position, but when it comes to quarterback, there is some natural skepticism.
Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton.
I don't hold that skepticism, but I don't want to ignore that it exists out in the world. That's just
Deshaun Watson.
That's just
the
why
list just goes.
Oh yeah, I know. Now that's what people say. Now that's what the list says. Okay, I don't hold this, but that's why I wanted to ask the audience, and I love y'all's feedback, even if some of you are mad at us for even bringing this up.
I will say this, to move it towards Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. This isn't good. We all have feelings. Autoflex Leasing fan texting in. You guys have feelings. right now, when you look at quarterbacks, you don't treat them the way that the Joneses are treating Dak Prescott. These feelings will last in Dak Prescott. Jerry doesn't care. Jerry doesn't think that it has anything to do because Jerry's such an unbelievable salesman. He's going to smile when the contract's done and be like, everything's great. But we still have feelings. I just know through my life and through most people, we'll still have feelings on, yeah, but I know how you treated me versus how all the other franchise quarterbacks, how Jared Goff was treated, how Carson Wentz was treated, how Russell Wilson was treated, how all these guys that have similar contracts to me were treated in the process. You treated me the worst out of all the quarterbacks who are considered franchise quarterbacks. And it'll somewhat go away, but not totally. This is not good. Either Jerry, this is my opinion, either sign him, get it done, make everybody feel great. There's already a little bit of bad blood that can't be taken away from this situation. Or get rid of him, trade him, move on. Because doing this to your franchise quarterback for the next 5 to 7 years, what you're putting in his thought process of how you think about him is not good for the Dallas Cowboys.
I think that you just spoke to something that is applicable to a lot of people at a lot of different businesses. How many of you are sitting there right now and you're like, oh yeah, we went through the negotiations and they made me feel like I wasn't valued. I think we can all totally relate to that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Thank you so much for your feedback. We love the conversation, even for the people who call us idiots, which is hurtful. Coming up next, who are the Mavs 5? Because we're struggling to figure out that 5th. Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Who are the Mavericks 5? And I love discussing this all the time because that championship team is all we have, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's the last one we have until the next one wins. I mean, it could have been okay. It could have been the Mavericks and it could have been the Rangers, but game 6 happened.
All right.
No problem, dude.
Punch him.
I was having a great day.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you can still have a great day. You just have to remember that that's part of our life. But who are the Mavericks 5? Because that team, Mike.
Let's talk about the Mavs 4th center. Yeah.
Was that Mavs team had 5 guys that no matter whether or not they were starters or whatever,
right,
they were on the court in the final 5 minutes. Rick Carlisle's method was, we're going to keep it close, probably try and make a surge at halftime, but keep it close enough that within the last 5 minutes, we can make a run because we have guys that are good enough defensively and we have Dirk, and offensively we can create enough. And it was Jet, it was Dirk, Sean Marion, Jason Kidd, and Tyson Chandler.
Right.
If you could keep those guys out of foul trouble late, Dirk usually had, what, one or two fouls by the fourth quarter, so he could foul somebody. He wasn't the best defender,
right?
But offensively, he was able to do something. And I think, I believe, because we talked about adding Mo Harkless to this team,
yeah.
I believe that if you added him to this team, that would allow you more flexibility to be able to say, okay, let's really figure out who our five are. Right now, do we know who that is?
Not anywhere close. I think we have Luka Porzingis, 1-2, easy. Number three, most likely Tim Hardaway Jr. I think that's pretty easy. And then the other two positions are going to fluctuate. We're just not to that point yet. The guys that you named, Kidd, second pick. Tyson Chandler, I'm forgetting, might have been fourth pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Dirk, obviously, lottery pick. Marion, lottery pick. Jason Terry, lottery pick. Five lottery picks. I'm not saying they all have to be that, but right now, Luka and Porzingis play with Tim Hardaway Jr., who was a mid-first-round pick. Dorian Finney-Smith is out there quite a bit late in games, who was undrafted, and it doesn't mean he can't play in the NBA. It's just talent-wise, when you looked at, hey, from guys age 19 to 21, where are they at talent-wise? Dorian Finney-Smith was not considered one of the 60 most talented players in his draft class. And then Maxi Kleba wasn't considered a draftable player. I'm just throwing out guys' names. Seth Curry was, I believe, a second-round pick when he was drafted.
Right.
But I think that we're going to get there. We're just not there yet. But, Kevin, I'd love to know. I know you agree with my three. Who do you think four and five are for this team?
Man, because I hear what you're saying, and somebody said Seth and Finney-Smith, along with THJ, Luka, and KP, and it shouldn't be a debate. And I'm not sure I think it's that simplistic at all. But, I mean, I'm glad that they've already made up their mind, and they're like, these are the people that should be out there.
Let me ask you this. If Dwight Powell wouldn't have got hurt,
Then he's in the mix.
He would have been my four.
And okay.
My fourth.
I'm also kind of still hoping to see Jalen Brunson emerge. I know that's a weird thing to say, but right. Jalen Brunson, I know, again, second round pick. However, he has high level, high pressure situations under his belt from two different championships at Villanova. I think there's a little something to be said for that. But all right, so we're going, but Powell's out because he's hurt.
Right.
So we're going Luka, THJ, and Kristaps as the three for sure.
All right.
And the other two, oh, man. And this is how I know it is tough, because I'm having a harder time thinking about this than I normally.
They were probably hoping to start the year as we were at the All-Star break that DeLon Wright would have established himself as one of the
five. But that hasn't been the case.
But he hasn't.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, we were talking about this off-air about DeLon Wright versus Jalen Brunson. Like, well, so, and I know we'll get into this more later, but will somebody like emerge from the pack? But the fact that they haven't yet is interesting to me. I'm oddly inclined to think maybe MKG, because I think you're going to need some semblance of a defensive presence out there. And the people that we just listed, those aren't the guys.
That's interesting, because when Luka was out, they had Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr. start. Okay. With Porzingis. When Porzingis was out, when Luka came back, Courtney Lee started again with Tim Hardaway Jr. on the court and Dorian Finney-Smith. So that's three smaller players there with Jalen Brunson as your starter. Mike, you suggested earlier, I think that Mark Cuban threw out the idea that Kidd Gilchrist would play center.
Yeah, so that was why they picked him up, is they think that he can be a great small ball center. Huh. And with having a 7'3" forward power, if you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I know that we're getting more into positionless basketball, but because you have a 7'3" they feel like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who once he gets to the free throw line in a game, as in, hey, we've passed you the ball at the free throw line, he's like, man, this feels like half court to me. Can I get anywhere closer to the basket? Because this is a long distance shot for me, 15 feet, doesn't feel comfortable. And so they're like, well, what if he becomes somewhat a Dwight Powell guy, even though he's a couple inches shorter? And I don't know how great Michael Kidd-Gilchrist jumps. I know that he's a great defender, so I know he has a lot of athleticism. I don't know how well he is at, you throw the ball up, go get it, and dunk it into the basket. I don't know where he is on that part of his game, but I think they want to use Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in the Dwight Powell role and see who establishes themselves better in that role, kind of Willie Cauley-Stein or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
And does that theoretically leaves you a role maybe at the wing, unless you want to go, I mean, small, and go yeah. another guard out there. So then I would probably be inclined to think about Finney Smith as opposed to Brunson, because if I'm going that small
yeah.
at center, I want at least decent size out on the wing.
Yeah.
So I might go Finney Smith then, but I'm not out on the concept of seeing Brunson yeah. down the stretch.
I know people, a few people called me out. 214 says, does it mean anything where you're drafted? The dude for the Cavs, number one overall pick, didn't he stink? And that's the kid from UNLV. Get you. I understand.
Anthony Bennett, the worst number one pick ever.
There's going to be horrible draft picks 1 through 14 in the lottery. Now, let's go over LeBron's championship team with the Cavs. Number one overall pick, LeBron. Number one overall pick, Kyrie Irving. Number 4 or 5 overall pick, Kevin Love. Yep. Number 4 overall pick, Tristan Thompson. And then I don't know where J.R. Smith was drafted, but I might have been in the lottery.
Yeah.
So I'm like, look, guys. There's going to be bad picks. It doesn't mean you replace Dorian Finney-Smith with a guy who was drafted in the top 6, no matter how horrible they are at basketball. But it does mean when you start going over championship teams, a lot of those guys that are on the court, you can have a few outliers that were undrafted, like J.J. Barea, like Draymond Green. A lot of championship teams, when you start looking at them, a lot of them have guys that were drafted in the lottery, maybe not by your team, but eventually they become really good role players because there was a lot of talent in there. They just weren't able to become stars themselves. They are great role players. So it goes to that. I think for me right now, when it comes to my starting five after the three, it will matter somewhat with matchup. I will say with Seth Curry, he's such a knockdown three-point shooter. I do like him out on the court.
Okay.
He's the only person who has playoff experience in our rotation.
That's weird.
Zero people have played in a playoff game when it comes yep. to the Mavericks' real rotation.
Except for Rick.
Right, except for Rick. But
and
Rick
Luka
can't be
Europe.
On the court.
Yeah, Luka in Europe.
Well, okay. that doesn't count. That wasn't the NBA. I love that he won an MVP and won a championship. That's awesome.
Tim Hardaway in college.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. So I would say Seth Curry right now is my fourth guy, which puts me at a horrible defensive situation with Luka and Curry being my guys that have to guard the guards
yep.
on the court. And I know that sometimes what they'll do is Tim Hardaway Jr., you go guard him. Luka, you go guard the 3 or the 4, and we're just hoping that they have a really bad guy. Like for defense against Houston, if you were to match up against Houston in the playoffs, most likely they're going to go put Luka on P.J. Tucker because he's going to stand in the corner and wait for the ball to be passed to him. And if it's not, he's going to crash for an offensive rebound. And Luka's a great defensive rebounder. Yep. So they're going to be like, Luka, go stand with him in the corner. And then when the ball goes up, you're great at going and finding the ball off of the rim. Go get the rebound and make sure P.J. Tucker doesn't get it.
Well, I mean, that's what Rick did with Kidd, right? Like, he didn't necessarily say, well, you match up Sean Marion with Kobe, so you're going to guard him. He would put Kidd, he would put his best defender on whoever their guy was and then slide Dirk however he could to make up for that in some way. It's right. just if... Now, when we were talking
the
about
game the game has changed into so much pick and roll.
When we talked
that
about
that, they make switches, and the great thing about that team is Kidd could switch on any human being on the basketball
yes.
court. Marion could switch to any human being. Tyson Chandler could switch to any human being. So three of the players on the court could guard any other player on the court. And when it comes to this team right now, Luka can't guard most offensive players on the court.
Your best
Porzingis struggles to cover most offensive players on the court.
Who are your best
Curry
defenders?
Can't guard any offensive players on the court.
Hardaway
and Dorian Finney-Smith are your
Kleba?
Two guys that are in the rotation that, and Kleba is solid at it too. Those are your three guys that you say, hey, if they get switched on little guys or big guys, we're not okay, but they can survive.
The so but JJ is not going to be that guy either, right? He can draw the charge,
yeah,
but Barea
is bad defensively at this point in his career.
So if again, this Brent comes back to like Cauley-Stein, he was never considered a great defender, was he?
He's a good guy around the rim to defend the basket.
Yeah,
around the rim and rebounds.
Yes,
but he's not going to stretch and be a perimeter defender.
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
Unless maybe he grows into that role. But man, it's way too early to even know that right now. And that's something that Rick's going to have to tinker with while also trying to win games to get into the playoff seed that they need to get into. So I'm trying to figure out, because ultimately you guys are saying y'all would rather have defenders at the end of the game than offensive power.
And I would. Right?
If it's a close game, you'd rather have guys that can force turnovers or force the inability to score and get the ball back, and maybe you have one or two guys that can score.
I would, because you already have like an offensive trio that you feel works just fine and has gotten you up to the top of the efficiency ratings offensively. So I think my answer to that is yes.
So you'd rather have defenders out there?
Yes, for those other two spots.
Because offensively at the in the fourth quarter, in the last 5 minutes, it doesn't matter, because now you're getting the best defenders on the court against you probably. Yeah. So yeah. All right. Well,
by the way, we're screwed, guys. 972 on the draft pick thing. Look, you're gonna get a little bit of wrath of me. Stop being a moron. It does somewhat matter. Yes, Toronto was an outlier with the draft situation where guys were drafted in the draft. There's always going to be outliers. It's not 100%. Just go over the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors and the Detroit Pistons, who won the championship.
San Antonio Spurs.
Look, look. The Dallas Mavericks, just look where guys were drafted. Don't tell me I'm wrong because there is an outlier. It doesn't have to be 100% all the time, but don't be stupid.
Don't call our listeners dumb.
Just that
Mike.
Person.
Oh, okay.
Said stupid.
No, don't say that. Moron. Don't say stupid either, Kevin. Come
What's
on.
What's worse, stupid or dumb?
Shippy, I'm going to get you on this.
I think stupid.
Yeah.
It's dumber than dumb.
Okay, that makes a little bit of sense there, but
I think that opinion's stupid.
Does that mean that the Mavericks...
I think you're dumb.
The Mavericks get their playoff experience this year. They get knocked down a little bit, though, so they get the chip on their shoulder, but they don't have a draft pick to go get that draft pick. So do they have to find that guy?
What do you mean they don't have...
Do they not have a top draft pick to go get that?
Well, they do have their first.
Lottery pick
this
guy.
This looks like a bad draft. I think, look, this is just how the NBA goes. And yes, 3-0, last two numbers. There is outliers in everything. Probably the Mavericks are going to have to do what 95% of championship teams do, and they're going to have to go through 2 or 3 years of learning in the playoffs before they can truly become a contender.
According to Shippy Fun Sports, Jamie Benn will not be suspended.
Oh, so he's a go?
He faces no further discipline for the boarding penalty against Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
In your face, Mike.
So good that news, game everybody.
Tomorrow night against St. Louis should be fun.
Said it would never happen.
Can't wait.
Here we are.
Sadder news because Look of knee us. Surgery. Roger Federer is out of the French Open.
Oh! Who?
Wait, what?
What do you mean, who? You don't have to like tennis. You can't just say you've never heard of Roger Federer.
How's Andre Agassi doing?
He's
not
retired.
Not as good as Yvonne Lindell.
Still bald.
Is Bjorn Borg still jogging?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and it's Borga.
What about Serena?
She's
still playing.
We'll find excuses for why she didn't win and how tennis is systematically against her. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy with more from the potentially NFL-changing new CBA. Do it next right here on The Fan.
About to get into some Gridiron Gravy in just a second, Kevin, but if you go to 105.3thefan.com right now,
all right, hold on. 105.
Wait, right now?
Right now.
Or
yeah.
Like, should I go in a minute?
Go to 105.3thefan.com right now. You can do it on 105.3thefan.com on your smartphone or whatever.
We should quit bossing me around.
There is a live stream of the
car chase?
The Leaning Tower of Dallas.
Oh, is it going down?
And
for real.
Hey, listen, they're cleaning up around it right now. At any moment, that thing could collapse. All right? Just in case. We've seen people go and, you know, we have all these cameras in the studio, so we're like, hey, this is right outside of our window. Why don't we just put one of these 58 cameras on that building, and if something happens, everybody can watch it live. Y'all seen, was it Silicon Valley where that eagle was about to hatch, and everybody was like 3 million hits. Bam, everybody was watching it. So that's going on right now on 105.3thefan.com. You can go, just leave it up on your computer. Just leave it up on your computer, just like Tolo with your computer stream. Also, Kevin, we're hosting an awesome event that you can be part of on Monday. If you coach a soccer team or if your kids play soccer, I think this is an awesome opportunity for you from 105.3 The Fan Lounge here at the radio station Monday evening. FC Dallas president Clark Hunt.
Oh.
Head coach Lucci Gonzalez.
Did he make ketchup?
Is he part of the Hunt family that just won the Super Bowl?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. He is the same person.
And ketchup?
Midfielder Paxton Pomacall.
Maybe.
And defender Reggie Cannon are going to be here to hang out and do a one-on-one with me and Kevin. You can hear from them, and then you can get to meet them. Go to 105.3thefan.com/contest and register today to win for that. Yes,
that's,
Mike.
No, it's just super awesome because we got to interview him in Minnesota for the Super Bowl when we were there
when you went
on
to the
Radio
Super Bowl?
Row, and yeah. It was a really fun interview, and he had – obviously, Gavin Dawson was conducting part of the interview, and he wanted to talk some soccer with him because he loves soccer. It was great to just get to talk NFL and soccer and kind of the visions he saw for both.
Well, we have every Thursday, we'll have the Lucci Gonzalez show at 1:30 when their season starts. We've also had Paxton and Reggie Cannon on the show before.
Yes, we have.
Reggie Cannon loves Troy, right? Because of the cartoon stuff that he loves to get in on.
Oh, that's right.
So, man, lots of crazy stuff happening here at 105.3 The Fan. We're always trying to bring in more and more Tolos, so we want to spread the word, Tolos. Kevin, it's time to take it away right now, though, with some gridiron gravy.
And we start with, well, we talked about the playoff expansion earlier. If that was the case going back 10 years, do you realize the Steelers would have made the playoffs 4 extra times? So, I'm sure they're looking at this and they're kind of bummed about it all. Sorry, guys.
4 extra. That's how consistently good the Steelers are, even when they're not great.
I put Mike Tomlin in my top 5 head coaches in the NFL because Chiafalo and Eric were having a discussion.
And Zach.
Same person.
Sorry,
right?
Zach and Eric. The Zach or Eric show.
RJ and
seats.
Choppy show.
Yeah, I want to rename it to the Eric
head,
and Chiafalo
like,
show.
They were having a conversation about it and how they just didn't think Shanahan. They're having an argument about where Shanahan was in the coaching in the NFL, if they'd be in the top 5 or not. And I was like, man, I have Mike Tomlin in my top 5 because of that situation.
Kevin, and I'm sorry, I should have said anime, not cartoons about Reggie Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, the... would the Romo-era Cowboys have been in the playoffs more often than?
Nope.
Really?
Well, it only goes back to 10, so...
For all those times they finished 8-8?
Yeah, like, that string of 8, 9, 10, well, maybe one of 8 or 9.
So maybe Romo could have won a Super Bowl in one of those years.
I mean, he would have done what he did.
No,
in big
dude,
games.
Come on!
All right, sorry. Just averaged 17 points per game in those. All right. So there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in the collective bargaining agreement. We've told you about some of it. I crunched some of the numbers for this, Corey, on the shift of the revenue. All right. So the player share of the revenue would go from 47% to 48%. And I know on the surface, you're like, okay, cool. But over the next 10 years, which is the proposed length of it, it would shift approximately $5 billion to the player's side.
Good God.
And so I figured this out per season because this is the thing
Good
that's
night.
Really interesting to me. And if you want to know...
That is so much money.
It is. It is. So if you want to know, just without including different contracts or anything like that, check this out. So the player's deal would go from 47% to 48% at 16 games. If you bump it up to 17 games, then it goes up to 48.5%. That is approximately an extra $80 million per year at the minimum scale just for that part of it, which would mean an extra $47,000 to $55,000 in each player's pocket. And that's not even if you reevaluate the salary cap structure. So just by getting more of the pie, every single NFL player would get an extra $55,000. And I know for some people are thinking, well, yeah, but so many of these players make so much money. But not a lot of them, right? A lot of them are more towards your minimum level guys who are making, you know, $700,000 or whatever. And if I said you can get almost a 10% pay increase, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty universal thing that people are like, okay.
Not getting that anywhere else.
Yeah, that sounds great. So Just keep careful. So just keep.
Unless you're Dak, like Dak's probably good. That's more than 10%.
Yes.
For him.
Oh my God, it's like 10,000%. So just if you want to keep in mind why they might take that 17th game, you shift a whole nother half a percentage point. That's big.
I haven't had this conversation with you guys. Do you guys want another regular season game in the NFL?
No. Yeah, so the Cowboys can't go 8-8 all the time.
Good answer.
That is very fair.
I don't. I think 16 is plenty for me. I think the reason, and I'm not saying 17 pushes it over the top of, oh my God, there's way too many games.
You sound like the way I sound about the playoff teams. Like, you don't want it, but you're not going to just ditch it all.
Right. I'm just like, I think that the reason that football is the most popular sport in the United States of America is because it's only 16.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we're ever going to get to 20 in our life or anywhere close to an NFL season or MLB season, but the reason to me it's the most popular sport isn't because of the game of football is the most beautiful sport to watch. Yeah. It's the gladiator aspect of it, and it means so much. Every game is 10 times more valuable than an MLB game. It's 5 times more valuable than an NBA or an NHL game. So I think the value in the NFL being so popular, watched so much, is because there's only 16 of them. And I get your point of the playoffs, like, don't add an extra one, but I'm okay with that. I've never got to week 15 or 16 of the NFL going, man, there's just not enough regular season games in this.
You know, and historically, the NFL has expanded at a more rapid pace than we're looking at right now. So, like, once you really got the system down, because like when the NFL started in 1920, the schedule was super weird. Did you know that not all the teams play the same amount of games? It's very bizarre. Teams could play as few as 8 games, while some teams played as many as 16 games, and it was really unstable, and that's when college football was bigger. All right, but then when you get to like 1935, so 1935, though, changed a little bit around the war. You implemented the 12-game schedule, all right? So you go from 1935, you keep the 12-game schedule, and then you get to 61. 61, you go to 14 games. And that only lasted 17 years until 1978 when you brought in the 16-game schedule. So just think about it. You've been rolling with the 16-game schedule for the better part of 42 years. It is easily the longest run in the history of the NFL without a schedule expansion.
It's been wildly successful.
It definitely has, which I know is the reason that you're like, maybe we should not.
No, I want it. Let's do it. I want more games. I want more playoff games, though, Kevin.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's going to happen if it all gets approved in time.
I want 4 more playoff
games. When will they extend the preseason?
I want.
No, actually, to go along with that, I know you're kidding, Shiffy, but they would drop.
Am I?
Yeah, well, I hope so. They would drop the preseason games from 4 to 3.
I want 4 more playoff games. And if the Cowboys can't get in that, then I want 6 more. All right,
it should be double elimination.
I just want the most playoff games so that the Cowboys can say they were in the playoffs.
Everybody gets in.
Yeah,
great. 5. I mean, that's inevitably the direction we're going.
Talk about parity.
All right, you want to know? This is the most amazing salary cap statistic I've got for you today.
Okay.
In 1 month,
you're really pumping this one up.
Are you? I believe in it.
Okay.
March 19th. So the day after the new league year starts,
okay.
Jared Goff will be paid his full $21 million roster bonus, his $25 million salary for the next season, his $2.5 million roster bonus for the next season, and his $15.5 million roster bonus for 2022, which means if the Rams were to cut him, their dead cap would be $94 million for just him.
Just for their quarterback?
I'm impressed.
For him. Did that leave up to the hype? I mean,
I was worried about how big this stat was going to be. I tell you what, his tax situation isn't good on that.
Golly, yeah. So, I mean, obviously they wouldn't just let him go, but it'd be a $94 million cap, dead cap
hit.
How
much in taxes does he pay on that?
God, at least 55%.
He's playing for
that.
Who?
The Rams.
Oh, he probably...
Is in California?
50% probably of his salary goes to taxes.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're playing on a California team, you're up to probably 50% of your money going to taxes.
You're saying we can't triple our budget after stuff like that?
Man, you better be careful, politics. All right. Let's talk about Lane Kiffin. I always like people.
Hey, well, I didn't do anything.
We're going to turn over to Bassick now. I like people who come up with situations from 12 years in the past and talk about how they were right that one time.
What an exciting time.
Okay, well, see, Lane Kiffin, he knows. Lane Kiffin told Dan Le Batard that in the 2007 draft, he really told everyone they should draft Calvin Johnson and not Jamarcus Russell. So he's like, hey, I was right about that one thing.
Remember that time?
12 years ago.
I was like, this dude is not the dude.
I might have made a garbage coach everywhere else I went, but I
was
right about
that. Yeah, that's the thing about Lane Kiffin. Like, you can claim that, coach. But all the other things that you've done just don't show that you have that level of success.
Terrible coach. Guys, you want to talk about Greg Robinson?
Yes.
The former...
Hold on real quick from the 214. That's why Rivers and his 75 kids are moving to Florida where there's no tax.
Yeah, that's for sure. Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle for the Browns, and another ex-NFL player were taken into custody after the Border Patrol found 157 pounds of weed in their Chevy Tahoe.
Let's go smoke weed about it right now.
I don't know if there's any truth to the rumor that ESPN Radio will now be offering him a show because he got busted with all that weed, but we'll look into that.
Dude.
We were doing so well.
Smoking the weed.
We're pretending like that didn't happen.
And then all of a sudden, dude.
Okay. I said I don't know if there's any truth to that rumor. If convicted, the former Auburn... Look it up, kids. If convicted, the former Auburn teammates would face up to 20 years in prison.
All right.
Go big or go home, I say.
I just want to point out, Kevin, and Ross Tucker at Intercom's radio.com app. He does the Home and Home broadcast. He pointed out that Greg Robinson made over $29 million in his six-year NFL career.
Why does he need a quick fix on weed money?
Including $6.4 million from the Browns in 2019, yet 6 weeks after the season's over, he's having to move 157 pounds of weed.
Somebody convinced him.
Maybe he was buying in bulk.
Okay, and he's going to have a hard time.
The Costco of weed.
He is. Check this out, because he's going to have a hard time getting around this former number two pick in the draft.
Kirkland brand weed.
So they found 23 mason jars, a can sealing machine, an electronic scale, and $3,100 cash in his pocket. So, I mean, just the cash was in his pocket. The rest of the stuff was not in his pocket. But yeah, so good luck figuring your way out of all of that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I cannot wait to see how the Autoflex Leasing fan text responds to this. Hypothetical for the Rangers fans. If it would lead to the exact same result as the Houston Astros in 2017, would you be okay with the Rangers cheating the same way this season? Means you're going to win the World Series. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.